Crabb gives to AC, moves it around the left for Carroll near the Cavs bench. 10 to shoot. Carroll played by Love. Back it out to Dinwiddie near the midcourt line. 6 to shoot. Dinwiddie rises along. 3 and he buries it. Spencer Dinwiddie from 28 feet. Nets grab the lead, 106 to 104.
It's Joe Benito and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WSAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on the Fan. Joe and Evan on WFAN.
All right, 10:03 on the Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Benigo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here at 1 o'clock. Mike Sanfrancesa on the Fan will come your way. Don't frame Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. And the big story of the day, forget the World Series. You heard the call, Chris Carino with the honors last night. The Brooklyn Nets, that big three by Spencer Dinwiddie, which put him ahead for good with about 40 seconds left in the game. The Brooklyn Nets defeat the Cavaliers at the Barclays Center on a night. I know Evan had begged. He said, please, LeBron, sit this one out.
Yeah, I didn't want to play.
But even better than that, LeBron gives him a triple-double, and the Nets still win. I mean, you got this is you got now. We know the Net fan that you are, okay, and we give you credit. You know, you tremendous Net fan. You love them, okay. This is tell me if I'm wrong. This is probably the best Net win since Game 7 in Toronto.
Here's the one I would put there when they tied the Atlanta series 2-2.
Okay,
Darren Williams had a crazy performance. Okay. It was his last great moment before they finally got rid of that overrated. You know what?
Yes.
But, no, it was tremendous, and it was stunning. And this is a team, like, I watch them play. First of all, they play very, very hard.
Right.
And I
right.
still can't fathom that the Nets and Sean Marks, who is, like, the opposite of Billy King, got Damare Carroll and a first-round pick for Justin Hamilton. I mean, he actually made that trade.
That's pretty good.
I don't know why I didn't have a party right then and there.
Well, even a D'Angelo Russell move. Well, you know, he didn't play last night. He still won. How about that? He didn't even play and he won.
That was when I really didn't think they had a shot, when D'Angelo wasn't playing. But you know what? With D'Angelo off the court, they didn't turn the ball over as much.
Well,
there you go. That was one positive.
There you go.
And LeBron was a turnover machine. And it was one of those things where when they were up by 14 early in the fourth quarter.
You were waiting for the Cleveland run.
Well, I looked at it two ways. I said, they hit one more big three and get it to 17, the Cavs will give up. They'll just give up. They'll say, it's not our night. Let's move on. It's a long regular season.
Right, right.
And they'll pack it in. But if the Cavs go on a run, they'll close. I mean, how are the Nets going to be able to close against this Cleveland team? I know Dwayne Wade wasn't playing, but you still had Kyle Korver hitting a bunch of threes. You still have LeBron. You even still have a guy like J.R. Smith. You have Kevin Love. No way the Nets will be able to hold on. And when the Cavs went on that run and took a three-point lead, and then the Nets actually tied it on a three, I think by Spencer Dinwiddie before the game winner, and then the Cavs quickly answered. Kyle Korver hit a three. I was stunned they were able to close the way they did. And you mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yep.
And honestly, how many people even heard of Spencer Dinwiddie before last
Most
night?
Most of the guys in his team you really haven't heard. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's not exactly a team full of household names.
Well, it's funny. They signed Spencer Dinwiddie right after they got rid of Yogi Ferrell. And then Yogi went to Dallas and had some really big performances.
Right, which you were upset about.
Of course I was.
Well, I'm just saying.
All of a sudden they get rid of this guy, and the Nets need to find
these
diamonds.
Of course.
I watched Dinwiddie now and a little bit last year, but now he's like Sean Livingston with a jump shot. Like, he's 6'7" as a point guard, so he's got great wingspan, which they were talking about on the broadcast last night. And he was fearless last night to take that three top of the key, like 5 or 6 feet behind the line, and drain it the way he did, plus try to defend LeBron all night, which is not an easy task. He was talking about ice in the veins performance last night.
And LeBron also missed two big free throws late. Was it 109-107? He could have tied the game.
I think
he tried to miss the second one.
Yeah, and he almost made it.
Right, I know. He tried to miss the second
one. And the Nets almost gave it away because Trevor Booker couldn't hit free throws.
Yep.
Rondé missed
a
free throw. But they were able to hold on, and they got lucky because JR missed a wide-open three that should have tied the game. But they play with fire. They play with energy. And here's what they do. And this is where I felt sort of positive.
Undefeated at home as well.
That's right. 3-0, baby. They chuck threes, obviously. They set the franchise record last night for attempted
46
threes.
46 last night?
46. And if you look, they put a graphic up last night of the top five games in net history of attempted threes. They're all in the last year. I mean, they are just assaulting
the
record.
That makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense because that's their
game
plan.
And that's what the game has become, too.
Absolutely. So. Early in this game,
the Knicks don't shoot threes anymore.
Right. They only get to 12. I mean, 12 in this day and age is unheard of.
12 is like a quarter.
Really? But early in this game, they can't buy a three. They can't hit a shot, and they were in the game. And that was a positive sign because you had to figure eventually they were going to fall. But the Cavs played a real sloppy game. They turned the ball over. Now I got to take a shot at LeBron. I got to take a shot at this guy.
What did he say after the game?
No, there's 2 seconds left, 1 second left. Cavs are inbounding. The game's obviously over at this point. And they all walked off the court. They wouldn't even let the ball come into play. They just walked off the court. LeBron, your team is better than the Nets. If you play them in the playoffs, you'll probably win in four. Can you actually go over to Spencer Dinwiddie, who probably admires you? Can you go over to the kid, put your hand on his head, and say, hey, good job, kid. How about you congratulate a team instead of walking off the court?
Did that really bother you?
It actually did, because I thought it was really... Because you know why? It was disrespectful. How many times, Joe, in the NBA do you see after a loss or a win?
I think there's a little too much of a love-in.
Too much at times.
In a lot of sports anymore with the opposition.
I agree that sometimes it's too much. I just thought for a young, hungry team, just show some class. I don't think you showed any class last night. I mean, did it bother me? At the end of the day, they won the game.
They won the game.
That's all that matters.
And you won the game with him having a... And I understand he turned the ball over a lot and missed the free throws. You know, you won a game with him on the floor.
Oh,
I mean, you just walk away with a smile on your face. Come on.
I'm happy.
You should be.
I'm happy.
You should be.
I'm just pointing out that it would have been nice for LeBron to show some class.
By some way, because I think there's only two teams left in the league without a win, the Knicks and the Bulls. Is anybody else beside those two?
Phoenix has their wins. I think those are the only two.
I think that's it. I think they're both 0-3.
Yep. Dallas got a win.
Right,
right.
So if you lose tomorrow to the Knicks, okay,
wipes
and I'm not saying
away.
You will. Really? Does it?
Yeah.
Lose it on the road to the Knicks wipes away the Cleveland win?
Joe,
I don't think so.
Listen.
No, come on.
I got to explain this.
In the NBA?
Listen to me. All right? I understand in this sport you don't get it. I understand that you actually like the Nets, and I appreciate
that. I don't hate the Nets. I have no ill will toward
them. Bro, I can't stand your team.
I understand.
I can't stand it.
But you would rather lose to Cleveland than lose to the Knicks?
I wouldn't say rather. But I'm saying losing to the Knicks, who look like they actually have no idea.
But
they're
going to win a game
doing.
Eventually. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, but I think they'll win a game at some point.
Go win a game against the Lakers or something.
Well, that'd be good.
Don't go beat my team. It actually would wipe it away because I want to see this team actually win a game on the road. They gave up a million points to Indiana on opening night. They blew a game against Orlando 2 days ago. I want to see them beat a team on the road. And I think you got to understand the way Net fans feel towards the Knicks.
Okay.
It doesn't matter how bad you are, how pathetic you are.
Right.
We can't stand you.
I understand.
And losing to the Knicks just hurts, especially when you got players basically saying, we don't even know what we're doing on the floor.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
Why would this surprise anybody?
But oddly, I've got confidence. I actually believe in this team.
You should.
I believe you got
a young team. They're playing hard. They're playing hard for Atkinson. You got a management team that seems to actually know what the hell they're doing. You got to be very happy with that.
If they can somehow, I'm not saying keep this up and win 50 games or anything like that, but if they can be a competitive team and be in a playoff race, it would be incredible the job, how quickly Marks would have been able to turn this team around considering they didn't have any picks.
Should have bet the over. What was the over, 29?
27 and a half.
Oh, bro.
Come on, it's 5 games. It can't get nuts
understand.
Here. And you know what?
They're
going to
win 28
they
games.
They have to stay healthy, though. Health is the key. And I know they won last night.
He really was win, but still.
Well, I'll tell you a guy they can't lose right now. They can't lose Damare Carroll.
Yeah, no,
he is
right.
The clear leader of this team.
Yep.
He plays defense. He plays hard. He plays with intensity. And what I loved was the fact that they blew the game the night before, and it was nice to see them learn the following night how to close a team out, especially a team as good as Cleveland.
A championship caliber team. Absolutely.
It was very encouraging. Yep. I was giddy as a Net fan. I was happy.
I'm happy for you.
It's early.
I woke up this morning. I said, I'm happy for my partner.
Thank you,
That's
man.
A good win for him.
I appreciate
He's
got to
be
it.
Delirious.
I was very happy.
You should be.
And as soon as it was over, I turned on the baseball game from the beginning, and I caught up by the fifth inning. That's what commercials can do for you.
Right.
And I
got
to say, before we get to one of the great World Series games of all time, the Vin Scully thing.
Oh, that was the best.
Was
I saw
awesome.
That. The only thing I was disappointed with Vin Scully, he's going about the, well, there's a left hand. I thought Sandy was coming out.
I did too, man.
I mean, it was, which was fine. Fernando Valenzuela is fine. But I thought Sandy would be the guy. It was good.
Sandy doesn't love the spotlight, man.
Yeah,
he really tries to stay away from it.
No, he definitely does.
But it was...
I was a little disappointed, though. Fernando could not throw from the rubber. Did you notice
that? Yeah, wow.
He was a little in front of the rubber.
Most guys don't these
days.
No,
I know. But still.
And the way Vin was dressed, I was confident he wasn't throwing that first pitch.
No.
Even though it was announced that he was.
No.
But it was a very cool moment because very rarely do you see a guy walk on a baseball field with a microphone and basically start doing stand-up, which is what Vince Scully was doing.
Yeah.
It was very, very cool. And the game itself was insane. I mean, I know it took 4.5 hours, so it didn't end until 12:45, 12:30.
That's a problem with the game. I mean, let's be honest.
It's look, I've said it to you. It's a major problem when you're struggling to stay up. But that was as crazy of a World Series game. And it was one of those games where, as I'm watching it, as I'm watching Altuve and Correa go back-to-back, Marwin Gonzalez on an 0-2 pitch hitting Kenley Jansen out, Puig hitting a home run.
They had to give up the Dodger bullpen and not giving up a run at all, right?
Yeah, they were unbelievable.
Until last night.
And they were also going into last night 98-0 when leading after 8.
98-0.
But as I'm watching this game, I kept telling myself, thank God I'm not an Astro or Dodger fan, because I would not be able to take that.
Yeah.
That is a game that is that would take so much emotion out of you. And if you're a Dodger fan, you may remember this one for the next 40 years, because if they go on to lose this series, and who knows what will happen in the following games, this is one you blew. I mean, you blew it. You have Kenley Jansen on the mound, who's been automatic this season, and he's ahead. This was the killer. He's ahead 0-2. 0-2 on Marwin Gonzalez, and he hits one out. And then you rally and come back after Altuve and Correa do it. And think about this. They're down a run. There's two outs and nobody on in the 10th inning. So the game is almost over, right? There's a 3-2 pitch. Logan Forsythe, I think, was the hitter. Bro, this 3-2 pitch, if it wasn't strike three, was
Who was the home plate umpire last night?
Paul Nart.
Nart. Okay.
It was as close as it could be. They call it ball four. Wild pitch. Kike Hernandez, game-tying hit, tie game. Now, Dodgers end up losing, so who cares?
Right,
if you're an Astro fan, that 3-2 pitch may have made you never want to watch baseball again.
Look, we could go on endlessly about, the umpiring behind the plate. What's a strike and what's not. So it should be no surprise to anybody with stuff like that.
It was close, man. And then the other thing was Yasiel Puig, right before he struck out to end the game, had a check swing in which he went around. But they said, nah, no swing. And then the other thing, and this was not a bad umpiring call, was just fortunate for, I guess, the Astros. Chris Devinsky wheels around to pick a runner off, and the ball hits Les Diaz. And it actually saved the runner from going to third, and who knows, probably trying to score.
Devinsky closed it out last night, right?
Yeah, because they went to Ken Giles in a tie game,
which
I thought was the right thing to do. This was a game that just had everything. It was wild. It was crazy. And now, if you're the Astros, you're right there. You got that split in L.A., and you take it back to Houston.
McCullers against Darvish tomorrow, right?
There you go. And then, in all likelihood, Charlie Morton against Alex Wood. Or would Cousin Dave
Kershaw
go back to Clayton if they're down 2-1?
Maybe.
I don't think he will, just because of the way they've been handling him. Like, they only let him throw 85, 90
pitches.
Yeah,
no, I know.
So I doubt it, but you never know. We've seen Clayton on 3 days rest before. Last year, we saw him on 1 day's rest coming out of the bullpen. But that was a classic World Series game, and congratulations to the Astros. They were 0-5, and they got their first World Series win.
That's exactly right.